Good morning. Today's daf and getting this test. We're on Ches Amud Beis. We're starting right at the midpoint of the daf, and we have now spent a week talking about b'fanenechtam. A get is being delivered to obviously his wife, and he's divorcing her. And in order for the get to be a valid get, so he has to hand the get to his wife. On the other hand, however, if he appoints the shlich to do so, so the shlich now will basically serve as his agent to deliver the get. So the shlich now will traverse from Chutz Aretz to Eretz Yisrael, hand the get to his wife, and the get's good, right? So as we spent the last week learning, it's not good. Even though, generally speaking, that's how the get works, but over here it doesn't work because he didn't say the formula of b'fanenechta, b'fanenechtam. That formula is necessary. Why is it necessary? So we spent the last week discussing it, but suffice to say right now it's necessary. The easiest way to explain it is that basically the get has to be notarized, the signatures of the get have to be notarized, and he's serving as a testimony for the authentication of the signatures, a process called Kiyam Ashtar. That's the pshat that was said over by Rava. As we learned over the last week, Rava, even though he argues, he doesn't argue on this point. He agrees to this point, that the purpose of saying it is for Kiyam Ashtar. And so, therefore, it's for authentication of the signatures. We already discussed time and again throughout the last week. Normally speaking, for Kiyam Ashtar, you need two witnesses. He's only one witness. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know, you're right. That's normally the rule, and this is an exception to the rule. This is one of those times where the Chachamim relaxed their rules. Kiyam Ashtar is a din to Rabbanan to begin with. So under these circumstances, so what they did is they allowed in this case, and in this case only, for authentication to be done by one witness, not by two witnesses. Good. That is what we've done so far. Okay, so as you're going to see, we're going to come on to a new Mishnah on today's daf. Right in the middle of Testament Aleph, we're going to be learning together a new Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to introduce us to the following idea. Everything we just said is going to be true also by Shichur Avadim. Okay, you want to emancipate your Eved Kenani. You own an Eved Kenani, and you want to release him. You want to free him. So first of all, can you do it? So we're not going to spend a lot of time learning it, but and we're not going to touch it on today's daf, but the general position of the Chachamim is that you shouldn't do it. There is a pasuk in the Torah, Lo Olam Mehem Tavodu, and the Gemara assumes that really what you should do is that you should maintain your Eved Kenani in perpetuity. You should own him, you should pass him over to your children. So Lo Olam Mehem Tavodu. That's true. On the other hand, however, there are circumstances where you are allowed to free him. Okay, so for our purposes right now, let's just simply, I'm just giving a broad sketch over here, is that generally you shouldn't free him, but you're allowed to do so. It's within your power, it's within your right. In other words, with your Eved Kenani, it's ownership, it's property, and you can do with what you want with your property. You could sell your property, you can gift your property, or you could just simply relinquish your property. So the Eved Kenani, so you can now just simply relinquish. But relinquish also means emancipation. Now, we will be spending time in this Masechta talking about what happens when the get is free. Sorry, when the get. Okay. I heard myself. So we will be talking over the course of this Masechta what happens when the Eved goes free. And that is to say that when the Eved goes free, so what happens? He doesn't return to being a guy. In other words, when an Eved Kenani goes free, so he automatically gets upgraded to becoming a Yisrael. He becomes a full-fledged Jew. Okay. And I know it's strange, by the way, because generally speaking, when we talk about Geirus, we're talking about somebody making an active choice to go ahead and to become a Jew. And when it comes to the Eved Kenani, so it's a little bit strange. In other words, Eved Kenani now is in a position of being an Eved, and then with his emancipation, so not so much a choice on his part, now he becomes a full-fledged Jew. I know that's a little bit strange, but that's the halacha. That's the way it works when it comes to an Eved Kenani. All right. So now what we're going to do is that we're going to take everything we know when it comes to a get regarding the delivery of a get, and we're going to say the same thing is going to be true regarding an Eved Kenani as well. When you deliver the get shichur, right, there's going to be a document of emancipation that's going to go towards the Eved. So now when delivering it, so you, the deliverer, must say the words b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. Okay.
How did they come into concept of Lishma applying to the Eved?
Yeah, so if we're going to attack it with the approach of Lishma, so then, right, then your question's excellent, and I don't have a prepared answer. If it's Kiyam Ashtar, which again, everyone agrees to Kiyam Ashtar, so then it's a little bit easier to approach.
Okay,
fine. Your question's very good. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, so with all that stated, that was all by way of introduction. We are now in the Gemara inside Ches Amud Beis, and we're halfway down at the two dots. So, Tanur Rabbanan, we're going to start with a Braisa. Eved Shehevi Gito. So now the Eved now is delivering his own get. Okay, so it's so funny now. At this point in time in the Braisa, we already steps into the process, meaning everything I just said, meaning by way of introduction, when a shlech goes and delivers the get to the Eved Kenani, but now we have the Eved Kenani himself delivering his own get shechor. Okay? Now, that may sound strange, by the way, but it's not much different than what we discussed also earlier in the Masechta, when the woman goes in and delivers her own get. Now, she delivers her own get. What does that mean? It means that the get was handed to her and says, okay, now go to Eretz Yisrael and deliver it to yourself. Yes. Yes, that's what we discussed earlier. And so this is going to be very similar. Okay. So, Tanur Rabbanan and Eved Shehevi Gito. So, the Kasuv Bo. Now, over here, the part that's going to be, that's going to be open to analysis is the following. Here is what is written in the Get Shechor. Atzmecha unichasai kinu yalach. So, atzmakana nechasam lokana. So, the Braisa says like this. That over here, the owner wants to give everything over to the Eved Kenani. The owner wants to give the Eved Kenani over to the Eved Kenani. In other words, so that the Eved Kenani now will obtain ownership of himself. Okay. And on top of that, the owner wants to also give all of his other possessions over to the Eved Kenani. Okay. In other words, this Eved Kenani found a tremendous amount of favor in the eyes of the owner. To which the owner now says, basically, not only am I setting you free, but everything of mine that I own, I'm giving over to you. Fine. So under those circumstances, so the Braisa says, here's the halacha. He acquires himself. However, he doesn't acquire the nechasim. Okay, now, why doesn't he acquire the nechasim? So for this, we need Rashi. So Rashi goes on to explain why isn't that he doesn't acquire the nechasim? Because there are two parts now to this contract. This contract now is creating two transactions. One, the transaction of the Eved of his own person, and the second transaction of the possessions. Now, vis-a-vis a shtar creating a transaction, so the shtar can only work once the shtar is authenticated. Authentication needs how many witnesses? Two. Generally. Now, when it comes to the freedom and the emancipation of the Eved Kenani, so he works like a woman, and a woman receiving her divorce. When a woman is receiving her divorce and you say b'fanei nechtam, so you're authenticating using how many witnesses? Only but one. And that's allowed. So over here, when it comes to the get, when it comes to the Eved, so even though the contract is a two-part contract in which two things are transacted, one is the person of the Eved himself, and two is the possessions of the owner. With the possessions of the owner, we are bound by the regular rules of authentication, meaning you must use two witnesses. You don't have it. Therefore, he doesn't acquire all the possessions. On the other hand, the part of the shtar that affords his own freedom and basically his ownership of himself. So for that, one witness would be good. And not only one witness would be good, he can serve as that one witness with the words b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam.
But isn't the Eved himself considered possession of the owner?
And, yes.
And so why is one part of the possession?
Because right now, that is an excellent question, but I know the answer to that, because you have to look at the language of the shtar over here. Atzmecha u'nechasai kenu yilach. So I know it's very terse, but the contract over here actually breaks it up into two different categories. You will see in just a moment, your question will become excellent when the contract does not break it up into two different categories. In fact, that's the Gemara's very next question. What a good setup. So, Yibailu, kol nechsai kinu yilach. Okay, so, now what we're going to do is as follows. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss, we now know the halacha, and admittedly, just the halacha, the starting halacha of today's daf, is really complicated. Meaning, what we're learning together now is that the Eved bringing his shtar into Eretz Yisrael and his ability to authenticate only part of the shtar, not the other part of the shtar, all based on the principle that for kiyam ashtar of the get, you only need one. For any other transaction, we go back to the regular rules of requiring two. Okay, that already is, that's a lot. That's already a lot. But now that we're here, so now the Gemara wants to know, what if the following? Let's have the same exact scenario. The get is delivering his own document, his own shtar cheirus, and in it, so you have now in one sentence consolidating, he's going to take ownership of himself and possessions. How do you do it in one statement? It's very simple. Ibailahu. Kol nichsai kenu yilach, mahu. What if I say kol nichsai? In other words, the contract reads, you, this Eved Kanani, you're going to acquire everything. Now, everything is going to include all my possessions and you as well. You're going to now take possession of both. Now, here becomes the problem. In other words, again, he's delivering it. He must authenticate. He has the ability and the right to authenticate himself, the shtar vis-a-vis himself, but he can't authenticate anything else. But the problem is that right now the shtar is consolidated as one statement. So what happens under these circumstances? So you'll see now that the Gemara is going to really struggle over here, trying to go ahead and bifurcate this particular shtar. So I'm Rabbi Mitoch Shekanatz Makana Nechasim. So Abai starts off with, well, since he acquires himself, so therefore he gets a Nechasim as well, since everything is consolidated into one statement. Amalei Rava Bishlam Atzma Liknei Midadavei Gedisha El Nechasim Lo Liknei Midadavei Kim Shtar Dama. So Rav says, I don't understand. How can you just simply say he acquires everything? Vis-a-vis himself, he can acquire it using the principle of Kiyam Hashtar, the exception of Kiyam Hashtar for the divorce of a woman and for the Shechar of an Evan. I understand that. But he can't authenticate the other part of the Shtar. So Hadar Amar Abai. So Abai says, okay, Rava, that's an excellent point. So now I have to rethink everything. And you know what? Not only am I rethinking everything, I'm going to go in the other direction. Well, since the shtar had everything consolidated into one sense of kol nechasim kenuim lach, and since he doesn't acquire all the other nechasim, he also doesn't acquire himself as well. So Abai now goes in the totally opposite direction. So Amalei Rava Bishlam nechasim lo liknei midadav mekim shtaros da'ama. Ela atzmo liknei midadav agedisha. So to which Rava says, okay, look, I totally agree with you regarding all the other possessions, but he himself, I don't understand. We have an exclusion. We have an exception of Kiyam Ashtar when it comes to the Gedisha and Shechar Eved. And he himself authenticated the Shtar vis-a-vis himself. El Amarava. So, with Abaye now trying twice, neither time successfully satisfying Rava's viewpoint. So, El Amarava, Echazeh v'Echazeh, Atzmakana Nechasim Lokana. So, Rava says, look, it's very simple. Even, I say it's very simple. I'm acknowledging it's not really simple. But Rava says, look, it's very simple. In a contract, in a shtar, where everything is consolidated into one sense of hakol knuyin lach, everything will be acquired to you, and now he delivers the get, and now he's serving to authenticate the get, so Rava says, it's really simple. He can acquire himself, he cannot acquire the property. The acquisition of himself is done through the mechanism of b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. All the other property cannot be acquired because that requires real authentication. And real authentication has to be done with two objective witnesses. Okay. So now, Amale Ravada, Bar Masna Le Rava, Keman, Ke Rebbe Shimon Dam Rapagina Dibore, Ditnan. So now, how do you do this? How do you split the atom? And the answer is, you know how you split the atom? You split the atom. Okay, of the things that I say that sometimes I try to sound smart, I know, you know, they're just, sometimes they're just words. So but there is a principle that we come across a couple times throughout Chas, and that is the idea of Palgin and Dibure, that we can do that. That halacha allows us to take one statement, even though the statement is covering multiple items, and what we could do is that we could divide, we could subdivide. And it's true in terms of words, and it's true in terms of text as well. Over here, it happens to be contract, so it's text. But Palgin and Dibure, we could split up words. It could be a sentence. It could be something that was put in writing. And if you subscribe to this principle of Palgin and Dibure, so then you can walk away with Rava's conclusion. Rava said, I have a singular document with a singular sentence telling the Eved, everything of mine is going to be acquired to you, which includes himself as well. And so Rava comfortably says, okay, we'll take it and we'll split it. Vis-a-vis himself, he can acquire. Ah, you need two to authenticate the document. Not when it comes to get Isha. Not when it comes to Shechar Evan. He himself could serve as the authenticator. Great. But vis-a-vis every other aspect of the document, all the other possessions, for that you need regular authentication, and that he can't do. Okay. And that's all based on the principle of Palgin and Dibura. And the Gemara says, okay, this principle of Palgin and Dibura, not everyone subscribes to it. This is a Reb Shimon viewpoint. How do I know that? Did not we have a Mishnah? This Mishnah over here in Peah. Hakos they've called nechas of lavdo yatsa ben charin shir karka kol shehu lo yatsa ben charin. So, let's say a man writes over all of his nechasim to his eved. This is the Mishnah. The Mishnah I know is discussing pretty much what we're discussing over here, but this Mishnah doesn't have the features that we're discussing. The delivery across from Chutz Laaretz, Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah over here is just a really straightforward scenario in which, hey, here, take everything of mine. Okay? And not only does he say it, he writes it out. So he goes free. In other words, he acquires everything, including himself. Now, Shir Karka, Kol Shehu, if let's say the contract had the following. You, Eved Kanani, are going to acquire everything of mine, with notable exception to one parcel. But he doesn't identify what that one parcel is. Lo yatsa ben chorin. He doesn't go free. Why? Since there was an exclusion in the contract, and that exclusion wasn't identified. You know what could end up being that exclusion? The Eved Kanani himself. And so therefore he doesn't go free. Now, that in of itself already is interesting, but I'm telling you right now, for the purposes of our discussion, we are focusing now on the next. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Lo olamu ben chorin. We're now on the very top of Tesam and Aleph. He will be a free man. So, Achi Omer kol nechasin esun leponi avdi chutz me'echan me'iru b'shebehen. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon says like this, that the only way that the Eved Kanani is not going to go free if the exclusion does not have the word karka. Meaning, if he says, I'm going to give you everything with an exclusion of one parcel of land, an Eved Kanani is not property. Meaning, he's not land, according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, when the exclusion is on land, so then the Eved Kanani does in fact go free. If, on the other hand, the exclusion did not use the word land, it didn't use the word karka, it just simply says that all my possessions will be given to you. Chutz me'echa me'rubu shebehem. There is a fraction. He just uses the word fraction. Now, over here, it happens to be that the fraction is a really small fraction. 1/10,000th. I tried. So let's just say a small fraction. One really small fraction of my property is not of all my assets are not going to be given over to you. So according to Rabbi Shimon, under those circumstances, now, then, and only then, is he not going to acquire his own freedom. Since he talks about now some part of my asset, he doesn't describe what it is. So according to Rabbi Shimon, he now does not. He's unable to gain his freedom because that one portion may be the Eved Kanani himself.
But okay, under the part of halacha that we treat Eved Kanani as karka.
Yeah, right. So Ben's point is really good. There are many areas in halacha where we say that an Eved is hukash lekarka.
Right.
There's a hekesh equating Eved and karka, and that's true. But when all said and done, when writing in the contract something that is excluded and you're using the word karka, we assume karka means actual property itself. Okay. Now, there's a lot in that brisa, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to zoom in on the part that we need to focus on. And that is that Rabbi Shimon says that as long as the exclusion in the contract was on property, so here's now what we could do. If the exclusion was on property, so now we could split the contract. In other words, you, Eved Kanani, here's what you're not getting, properties. Now, I know there was only one property that was excluded, but it wasn't identified which one. So therefore, you're not getting any of the properties. Okay, good. So you're not getting any of the properties, but you know what you are going to get? Everything else. And you know what is included in everything else? You. Okay, fine. So now, what we just saw together in this Mishnah and Peah is that for Rabbi Shimon, what he can do is that he can go into the contract and he could break up the contract. Even though the contract itself is not broken up, but he could break up the contract into two categories, property and non-property. So what do you see in that Mishnah and Peah? Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the principle of Palgina Dibura. Okay. That's, right, for our purposes right now, that's all we need to see in that Mishnah. There's obviously many other points that can be litigated and learned from that Mishnah, but that's the part that we need to see. So, now going back to our original point, when Rava now describes the scenario in which the Eved Kanani comes in from Chutz Laaretz, into Eretz Yisrael, with a Shtar Cheres, but it's not just a simple Shtar Cheres. It is a contract that gives over everything over to him, and now he needs to authenticate it. So it can only authenticate part of the contract. Which part of the contract? The part that gains his own freedom. The rest of the contract he can't authenticate. So can we make that split? Rava said yes. Within Rava's yes, so we have to assume now, this is the Gemara's point, that Rava's subscribing to the Rabbi Shimon Shita that we just learned together in that Mishnah and Peah. Okay. I admit everything we just did right now is a lot. That's already a lot. But that's the first part of today's daf. Okay. V'hamar Rav Yosef, we're continuing now in the Gemara, we're on Testament Aleph. And we're all but three lines from the top of the Amud. V'hamar Rav Yosef, Rav Minyum, Amar Rav Nachman, Afa Pishakilis, Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Halachika, Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Shimon's position is praised, but nevertheless, Halach is like Rabbi Meir, Detan, Kishanamru, Dvarim. Lefnei Rabbi Yosef, Kara Alav, Hamikra Azes, Fasayim Yishak, Meshiv Dvarim, Nechochim. And when Rabbi Yossi heard the position of Rabbi Shimon, so he quoted the pasuk from Mishlei, right? Simple understanding is that basically, in other words, delicious. They could kiss that pshat, such a beautiful pshat. Tosus gives a different interpretation of how to understand the pasuk of Mishlei. Anyway, but the point is Rabbi Yossi. On one hand, he praises Rabbi Shimon, this idea of pagina dibura. On the other hand, that's not the halacha. The halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachiv Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyum Amar Rav Nachman Shich Shchiv Meira Shekasav Kol Nechasav La'avdo V'amad. So now the Gemara says like this: Are you sure? Are you sure that we don't possibly like Rabbi Shimon? Are you sure that we don't subscribe to Pagina Dibura? Let's take the following into consideration. Rav Yosef quotes Rav Nachman in the following circumstance. We're now moving to the halacha of Shchiv Meira. Okay, we're covering a lot of big topics today. It's a heavy daf. But the topic of Shchiv Meira is the following: a person's about to die, and he's afforded extra legal measure. Okay? Normally, whenever doing any kind of transaction, so what do you need to do? So you need to write up a shtar, and you need to give the shtar over to somebody. Good. So that's normally what needs to be done. However, when it comes to the Shchiv Meira, so every word that he says, is going to be executed. Even though it isn't actually executed yet. And, another important feature when it comes to a Shchiv Meira, and that is that everything is conditional, meaning he's dying. So when he gives away all of his assets, there's a tacit understanding that the only way that these assets are going to give over is when he dies. In other words, it's understood. I'm giving it all away because I don't need them anymore, because I'm not going to be here much longer. However, if miraculously he recovers, so then everything comes back to him. Good. So those are two features regarding the Shchiv Meira, in which the Gemara now discusses the following: Shchiv Meira shekasav kol nechasav la'avdo. So let's say now the Shchiv Meira is dying, and he has a particularly good relationship with his Eved Kanani, and he says to his Eved Kanani as he's dying, "You're getting everything. I'm giving you everything." So the Amad, but then what happens is miraculous recovery. So chozer benechasim ve'inu chozer be'eved. So what he's able to do is now chozer. Everything retracts. Remember, the Shchiv Meira, everything that he does is conditional. So he's chozer benechasim. So he gets back all of his assets. However, you know what he doesn't get back? He doesn't get back his Eved Kanani. That needs explanation. The Gemara goes on. Chozer benechasim man Shchiv Meira hu. So on one hand, he gets back all of his assets because this falls under the category of man Shchiv Meira, as I just got done explaining. However, in a chozer be'eved, shari yasa alav ben shem ben chorin. However, he does not get his Eved free because his Eved obtains a Shem Ben Chorin. In other words, word on the street now is that the Eved Kanani goes free. And in this regard, regarding the Eved Kanani, once that word has gone out in the street, so now even though it is a Mana Shchiv Meira, even though the Eved Kanani is halachically considered property, nevertheless, this idea of you obtain a Shem Ben Chorin, so what it does now is basically it carries you to freedom. Okay? And I would say it's just as a simple explanation of why that should be, is because what I said earlier today, when an Eved Kenani goes free, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. And now, once the word on the street is that he's a full-fledged Jew, so now that's not just a new status in terms of ownership, it's a new status in terms of you're a Jew chayv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, it's a new status in terms of iser, and so therefore it basically carries him. So what we're bothered by is the following. Meaning, Rav Nachman, does he hold the Pelgin and Deborah, yes or no? Meaning Rava, okay, if we can outline the Gemara today, this the beginning part of today's daf is complicated, I admit. But Rava says that when an Eved Kenani travels into Eretz Yisrael with a shtar, giving him everything, so Rava splits the atom. Rava says that he acquires himself, but not the possessions. Why? Predicated on the principle of Pagin and Dibura. Okay. That's a real sentence. So that's Rava. And meanwhile, the Gemara says that's great, but Rava only could say that if he subscribes to Pagin and Dibura. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, does not subscribe to Pagin and Dibura. And now what the Gemara is litigating is, are you sure about that? Are you sure that Rav Nachman doesn't subscribe to Pagin and Dibura? So the Gemara says, on one hand, he doesn't, meaning he says Allah is like Rav Meir in that Mishnah and Peah. On the other hand, we just went over a case study in which what he seems to be doing is he seems to be subscribing to Pagin and Dibura. So the Gemara says no. In other words, obviously we have to have Rav Nachman taking a side on whether he does or doesn't subscribe to Pagin and Dibura. So the Gemara says like this. Shechem Rav Amar Rav Yosef. We did that. Sorry. So Elam Benachosim Benachosim Benachosim. Yeah, Elam Rav Ashi. Okay. So Rav Ashi says now. Rav Ashi is last generation Amora. He is now explaining his understanding of Rav Nachman. So the Hasam. So over there, meaning this is by Rav Nachman regarding the case of the Shchemira. So Hainu Taima. So Mishum Delav Kurs Kitahu. Ah. In other words, in the case of the Shchemira, do you know why it is that the case of the Shchemira, the Eved Kenani did not go free? He didn't go free because it wasn't a Kurs Gita. It was not a get that created a full severance between the Eved and the owner. In other words, when it comes to creating both divorce and emancipation, get Isha and get Shichur. So for both of them, you need full severance. If there isn't full severance, so then you don't have, then the get doesn't work. Okay, over the course of this Masechta, we're going to give numerous examples of this idea when it comes to a woman. So let's hold off on that over here, in our case over here. So when the owner is bundling together his property and the Eved Kenani, and he bundles them together, so it's not a function of Pagin and Dibura, which is impeding the Shechur. It's a function of the fact that it's not a full severance. Okay.
It's a conditional severance.
Correct, but it's not.
But you can have a conditional.
You can have conditional severance, but it has to be full severance. And over here, the Gemara is just simply saying it doesn't qualify as a full severance. Okay.
Is he saying this in Rav Nachman?
Yes. 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 Rav Ashi is saying this within Rav Nachman. Meaning that really Rav Nachman subscribes to the idea of Pagin and Dibore.
Disagrees with Rav Nachman's halacha.
Right. But in this particular case of the Shchiv Meira, it's because it's not Kurs Gita. In other words, a separate issue altogether. Okay.
But Rav Nachman says it is a Kurs Gita. He says it is
free. In the previous case, yes, but in the case of the Shchiv Meira, no.
Yeah, he said he's free, no?
Right, but he says he's free, but only because of the principle of Eino Yatzar Lav, in other words, Hol Sheyatzar Lav Ben Chorin, Shem Ben Chorin, meaning you have to use some sort of outside mechanism in order to gain his freedom. But in other words, but short of that, though, he doesn't gain his freedom.
I got it.
Yeah, I know it's complicated. I know. Okay. So, okay. Adkan. Okay. That takes us to the end of our first sugya of today, and I admit it's a difficult first sugya. The questions of when a get delivers when an eved delivers his get, and he goes from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, and now he's given the ability and the right to authenticate his own document. So, but what happens when other things are also awarded to him in that document? So what do we do under those circumstances? If the contract itself actually separates it into two categories, that's fantastic. Then we know what to do. We'll allow for his freedom, but he won't be able to gain possession. What happens when the shtar bundles everything together? Then it becomes complicated. Then we need the principle of Pagin and Dibure. Do we subscribe to the principle of Pagin and Dibure? Rava does, and a question of whether or not Rav Nachman does or does not. Okay? That is a very, very quick, short summary of the Gemara that we did up until now. We just one more piece to finish up before we get to the next Mishnah. Now, we learned that Mishnah, that if there are challengers, so then what you could do is that you'll do Kiyam Ashtar. You'll authenticate the signatures. Now, what serves as a successful challenge legally? You need two. So if one person goes and challenges, we just simply dismiss that challenge. It's not a challenge. So ve'ela ira trei. So the Gemara says, okay, so what happens now is that two people are challenging. So the Gemara says, trei v'trei ninu. Umay chazit desmach tahani, smach tahani. So the Gemara says, well, now I'm totally confused. If two people are authenticating the signature, but two people are saying, you're wrong about that, so that now we're at a stalemate of 2v2. And on 2v2, so what are you going to do? You're going to believe one over the other? Yes, in the world of Einim Zomimim, that's what we do, but that's in the world of Einim Zomimim. Outside of that, so 2v2 is just basically a push. So the Gemara says, Ela ira debal. So the Gemara says, you're right. We're talking over here about where the challenger is the husband. So the husband is serving as now the challenger. He's better than one, but he's less than two. So under that circumstances, so where he's better than one, so on one hand, we can't just simply ignore the challenges of the husband. On the other hand, if I have two witnesses who authenticate the signature, so that's going to override the challenges of the husband. Okay, Adkan takes it. And the truth of the matter is the Gemara alluded to this point already earlier, but here's where the Gemara really spells it out in terms of who is the successful challenger who is greater than one but less than two, right? That's a great. I don't know if you're playing this trivia game with anybody, but it's a great question, right? Give me a challenger who is greater than one but less than two. And the answer is the husband. Okay. So the first part of the Mishnah now. We're up to the next Mishnah here in the Masechta, on Tesamad Aleph. And you notice how quickly I read it because we knew this already. In other words, at this point in the Masechta, this is a point that we've gone over time and again. And that is, what if you can't say Befanenechtam? So then what you do is you just simply validate the signatures. Now, I say it's simple. It's not simple. You're going to need two witnesses to do so. And you're going to need two witnesses here who recognize the signatures of people who live in a different country. But if you can find them, so fine. So then those two witnesses will be able to authenticate these signatures, and you're good. And you remember, of course, that this Mishnah, when we quoted it earlier in the Masechta, obviously this Mishnah serves as a phenomenal proof for Rava. Rava says, why do I have to say Befanenechtav? For Kiyam Ashtar, for authenticating the signatures. The Mishnah over here says it pretty much as clearly as one can imagine. Meaning, once you see this Mishnah over here, meaning, aren't we all going to conclude like Rava, that Befanenechtav is for the purposes of Kiyam Ashtar? Okay. Anyway, but we did all this already earlier in the Masechta. And now what do we have over here? Equivalency. Now I know we started off our daf with knowing this, but now we're seeing it together in the Mishnah side. And that is that in this manner, as in other manners as well, says the Mishnah, we have an equivalency of Gitei Nashim and Shechur Avadim. That what they're able to do is authenticate it with that one shliach. Normally you need two witnesses to authenticate, but with that one shliach who is now delivering the get, both when it comes to a getisha, and also when it comes to shechur evin, so he could do so al pi, just the shliach himself. Okay. My eino yachol omar. Okay, so the first discussion in the Gemara over here is going to sound really familiar because we did this already. So I get to do this a little bit quicker. So we have the person delivering and he's unable to say, Befanenechta, Befanenechta. What happened? In other words, why can't he say it? So my inner yachol ile mecherish so cherish bar yisui gitahu v'adnan akok shem lahavis aget chutz mecherishot v'katan. So are we talking about a cherish who can't talk? Well, if we're talking about a cherish who can't talk, so then you couldn't have appointed him to be shlech to begin with. He doesn't have the das. He doesn't have the requisite knowledge and cognitive ability to deliver the get. So I'm Rav Yosef Hakabai Ma'iskin and Kigoshinasna Lakashu Pikech, Lo Yispik Lomar, B'Fanenechtam, Ashinis Charesh. So we're describing a scenario where at the time where he was appointed to be the deliverer of the get, he did have his faculty and he was able to speak and he was able to hear. And then Rachmanis en route, so he lost that ability. And so therefore, right, he's going to be delivering the get. Unfortunately, he will not be able to say B'Fanenechtam, B'Fanenechtam. And that's where the Mishnah now says, under those circumstances, is there a plan B? Yes, there's a plan B. The plan B would be that you have to now find two witnesses who are able to authenticate the signatures. Okay. All this we did already. In other words, this Gemara is cut and paste of what we did earlier in the Masechta, but good. In other words, it fits into the Mishnah. Eche gitei nashim eche shechurei avadim. Tan rabbanim b'shosh adrachim. Shavu gitei nashim l'shechurei avadim. So here in the Braisa, now, we already heard this in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah wasn't clear. The Mishnah said, you know, there are a lot of ways where a shechur eved is the same as get nashim. Okay, that's what we heard in the Mishnah. But we didn't hear how many different ways. And so the Brisa over here counts the ways. Three of them. Shav l'molech l'mevi. So number one, we all know. B'fanenechtam. Doesn't need any more clarification. That's one. Two. Chol get sheyesh alav eight kusi pasul chutz megitei nashim v'shechurei avadim. So, any get that has a kusi on it is going to be pasul, with notable exception of gitin hashem shechur avadim. If that's going to be raising your eyebrow, it should raise your eyebrow. We're going to be discussing that in more detail later on. Stay tuned. Okay, v'chol ashtaros. And now number three. So number three now is we turn to the Amud Beis. So, in the third way, chol ashtaros ha'olim berkosho ovde kochavim afapi, shechos meim ovde kochavim ksherim. You have a document that is done via the local secular courts. So documents like that all work. They're all good. They're legally binding, with notable exception of Afa Pisha Chosmeim of the Kocham Ksherim Chutz Megitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. Okay, with notable exception of again and again Isha and get Shechur. Where there, if the document is processed through a secular court, it simply is not binding. Okay, there is an interesting Rashi over here. Wow. Rashi writes, do you know why? So he says, because we know that there's Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. One of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach is Dinim, is that they have to put a court together. And since they have to put a court together, so since they're bound by the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach to put a court together, so that means that the Torah basically is acknowledging, hey, their courts are good. So you want to now buy a house, and you want to use their courts in order to buy a house, by all means. In other words, they are bound by the Torah to put a court together, so therefore their courts are good, and anything which we overlap with them, meaning they buy houses, we buy houses, and any other form of acquisition, their courts are good for them, they're good for us as well. I know I'm paraphrasing Rashi, but that's Rashi right here. However, when it comes to Gerisha, so do they have divorce? Do they have the institution of divorce? No. Now, I say that, by the way, not fully understanding what I'm saying. meaning, according to Rashi, there's no way for a Ben Noach to go ahead and divorce his wife. I find that hard to imagine. But what they don't have, however, is they don't have the vehicle of a get like we do. Since they don't have that vehicle, so therefore they can't process it through their court. We can't use their court to process a get. If all that made sense. That's how Rashi understands why it is that all other documents that are processed in a secular court, they work perfect based on the mitzvah of Dinim Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. But when it comes to Get Isha and Get Shechur, since they don't have those institutions of Get Isha and Get Shechur, therefore we can't use their courts. Okay, now, the Rashi is interesting on so many levels in so many ways, but most notably, right, I'm sure you've heard me talk about this before, but it's worth reviewing. Right, there are Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Okay, can you name all seven? Right, we should be able to. So there are six negative, one positive. The Rambam's understanding, this is Maimonides, the Rambam's understanding is is that the mitzvah, the one positive commandment of to set up a court, is only to adjudicate the other six. That's it. That's it. Meaning for the Rambam, there is no large court system that the Bnei Noach have to set up. It's just that there are six negatives, right? Don't kill, don't steal, right? And four others. So according to the Rambam, the halacha of dinim is only on those six. Okay. The Ramban on Chumash says that the Rambam couldn't be any more incorrect on this point. The Ramban on Chumash says no. When there's a mitzvah of Bnei Noach to set up a court, it's for the entirety of Choshen Mishpat. Meaning all civil law is incorporated in the mitzvah of dinim. And Rashi over here, in other words, Rashi over here is not picking a side, but if we're going to pick a side for Rashi, it certainly sounds like from Rashi that he's more like the Ramban, not like the Rambam. Okay. Anyway, that's just in one way that makes Rashi over here interesting. Uchidir Rabbi Meir Ba'arba, we're back in the Gemara. So we just learned a braisa together in which count the ways of how a get isha and a shichur ever are similar. So we just went over three. Of the three that we just went over, I really explained one and three. I didn't explain number two. Number two, we're going to explain together later in the Gemara. So I'm holding on that. And then the braisa ends up by saying, you know, the Rabbi Meir would actually count the fourth. A fourth way in which they're similar. What is the fourth way for Rabbi Meir? So, Ha'omer tenges elishti vishtar shichur zelavdi rasalachzor bishtayim yachzor divri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir will say the following. Let's say I appoint a shliach and I say, go ahead and deliver the get. Either we're talking about a get isha or we're talking about shichur eved. So in either of those circumstances, after I handed over the get to the shliach and now he is in or out, but it's before he actually delivered it. So I want to retract. So Rabbi Meir says, go ahead, you can retract. No problem whatsoever. Okay. Now, what's the counter argument to that? Meaning, and anyone who's not with Rabbi Meir will say you can't retract. Well, why not? Meaning the get hasn't been delivered yet, why can't you retract? So Rashi over here explains because Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are arguing over the following. A woman getting a divorce, an eved going free. Is that a zchus or it's a chova? You know how like everything in life is not black and white? So on one hand, if a woman is in a really difficult marriage, it's fantastic. Fantastic for her to get a divorce and fantastic to go free. On the other hand, she now is going to be financially independent and financially responsible for herself. Okay, so like everything in life, it's a blend of good and bad. So is it more good or is it more bad? And so oddly enough, interestingly enough, the Tanaim argue about this very point. So if we say it's a zchus, meaning I understand it's not perfect. In other words, it's not going to be just zchus and not chova. But if you can analyze the situation, you could say that it's mostly zchus. So what do we say? Zachen la'adam shelo befanav. So if it on the balance sheet it's a zchus, and now you handed it over to the shliach. Now granted, it's not her shliach, it's your shliach. But if it's a zchus, so the zchus will dictate that once you hand it over to your shliach, you can't retract. Okay. On the other hand, if on the balance sheet we're going to call it a chova, it creates more liability than it does good. So now, when you hand it over to the shliach, it's still basically you until it actually gets to our hand. Rav Meir will take the position, it's more chova than it is chus. Therefore, according to Rav Meir, when you hand it over to your shliach, you can retract any point in time until it actually is delivered into her hand. Okay, the way I just presented it, that was all Rashi. Okay, let's go on a little bit more for today. Now, in the Braisa, what did we do? We counted the ways. How many different ways does it get Isha similar to a Shichur Eved? So according to the Tanakhama, the Braisa, the number is three. According to Rameir, the number is four. Now, you already know that the Tanakhama said the number three. Do you know why? Because obviously they're disputing the position of Rameir. How are they disputing the position of Rabbi Meir? Go back to what I said just moments earlier. I explained the machlokas. Good. So I understand why the Tanakhama said three and Rabbi Meir said four. So that's very good. So Bisham la Rabbanim minyan lamute ad Rabbi Meir. Ella Rabbi Meir minyan lamute mai. But Rabbi Meir says four, meaning why is he saying the number four? Meaning he could just simply add his point without saying a number. So lamute ad Tanya. The Gemara says no. Rabbi Meir says four Because there's another case where Rav Meir is arguing with. Edim shein yodim lachtom. So, let's have the following scenario, and that is that is witnesses don't know how to sign. Okay. This is just a personal thought of mine. I marvel at the fact that you can have an aide who is illiterate and can't read and can't write. But in other words, but you're inviting him to be an aide. It speaks to a historical time where this was so common, right? Nowadays, it's really hard to imagine, right? Our educational system is in this regard much, much improved. In other regards, we are not much improved, but in this regard, it's so much improved. But anyway, so they don't know how to sign their name. So Edim Shein Yodim Lachtom Akrim Lahem Niyar Chalak and Mamalam is a crime deal. So what do you do basically is that you make a stencil for them. Okay? Amazing. In other words, they're going to be serving as Edim. They don't even know how to sign their name. So you'll just simply stencil out. Right? You'll carve with a little knife here. I'm going to carve out the letters for you and then they'll just simply follow the carving to sign their name. Amazing. I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Bamedvar Mamor Bikitin Hashem. Aval Shechur Avadim Mishar Kol Sharos. And on that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that's only true when it comes to the get of a woman. But when it comes to Shechur Avadim, so if they know how to read and they know how to write, that's great. And if not, they can't serve as Edim. So Kriya Mandekar Shmei. Now, the Gemara is just bothered for a moment because we didn't talk about reading. We were focusing more on writing. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you have to read that into the Braisa. And the Gemara does. So the Gemara says, "Adam Shein Yodim Likros Korin Lifnehem." So V'Chosmin V'Ein Yodim Lachtom Akrin Lahem. Okay, meaning it's in the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't say it, but it's understood that if they don't know how to read, so what we do is that we read it for them, and then they're going to sign. And if they don't know how to sign, so then we'll just simply write out a stencil for them. So in the Braisa, it's both reading and it's writing as well. Anyway, so when Rav Meir makes the point of four. In other words, what he's coming to exclude, this case of the illiterate Edim. In the case of the illiterate Edim, so Rav Meir is telling you, I don't think that the get Isha and the get Shechor are the same. Okay. And that's why he said the number four, and that's why he gave out the number. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Yeah.
Gemara 540.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, thank you. I knew it was coming. just a question of when. Okay, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with Suleka. After summary, I'll go over the schedule. Anyway, let's do summary right now. Okay, what do we do today? A lot, a lot. Okay, we start off today with the Avakanani delivering his own get shechor into Eretz Yisrael with the ability to say b'fanenechtam, and so therefore it affords him his shechor. It affords him his freedom. If the document has both his shichur and also other possessions as well, and in the contract it's two different categories, that's great. He can authenticate himself, but he can't authenticate the rest of the possessions. What happens in the contract if everything is bundled together in one sentence? So now, can this document be divided? And that's going to be a function of whether or not you subscribe to Pagan and Dibure. Rava says, we do subscribe to Pagan and Dibure. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but Rava has this a couple times in Shas, right? I'm thinking of the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tes. Just happens to be, I reviewed it recently. So good. So I remember not only the Masechta, but the Daf. But the Rava throughout Shas does subscribe to Pagin and Dibure. And we learn together, it's really a machlokus amongst Tanayim, whether or not we subscribe to Pagin and Dibure, yes or no. And on top of that, we litigated whether Rav Nachman agrees to Pagin and Dibure, yes or no. And that part remained unclear. That was the first part of today's daf that took us up to the Mishnah. Although, quite frankly, before the Mishnah, we just did a quick discussion of who is able to challenge the authentication. In other words, if it's one witness, we dismiss it. If it's two witnesses, then it's a push. And so who basically is between one and two? And the answer is the husband. Okay. Then, we did the next Mishnah on Testament Aleph. In that next Mishnah, what did we learn together? That regarding this ability to authenticate using the shliach, so that's true when it comes to a gedisha. It's also true when it comes to shechor eved as well. They both can be done. They both can be authenticated using the shliach. And in other ways, gedisha and shechor eved are similar. In what other ways? So the Mishnah doesn't say. And in the Gemara's discussion, starting on the bottom of Testament Aleph, so we learned the Braisa. The Braisa gave us three different ways in which get Shichur and get Eved are on the same footing with one another. So of the three, we said over all three, but I really explained one and three. Two, to be discussed in a later daf. Then we introduced ourselves to the Shita of Rameir. Rameir says that there's a fourth way in which they're the same. And that is that in terms of the ability to retract, if the get, Shichur or Isha, is in the hand of the Shliach, but not yet delivered, so can the husband or the owner retract at this point in time? Rameir says, yes, it's retractable. Why? Because on the balance sheet, he looks at the get as a chova. Again, like I explained earlier today, it's really both. It's a schus and a chova. But Rav Meir will take the full assessment of it, put it under the category of chova, since it's a chova. So in chovan l'adam shalob b'fanav, giving the ability of retraction. On the other hand, the chachamim will tell you, no, it's a schus. Now, you're going to hear me talk more about this tomorrow's daf. Not enough of a schus where it becomes hers immediately upon handing it to the shliach, but enough of a schos that you can't retract once it's in the hands of the shliach. Okay. And the Gemara then after that point in time wants to know, why did Rameir not talk about any other cases? Meaning, why did he cap it at four? Because there's another case in which Rameir clearly is saying they're not the same, and that is going to be in the case of the illiterate Aiden. In the case of the illiterate and illegible, I don't know if that's right. But in the illiterate Aiden where they can't read and they can't even sign their own name, So is get Shichur and get Eved the same, yes or no? Rameir says they're not the same. Okay, I'd count.